Good morning, everybody. I'm Bill Dance. If you love fishing as much as I do, you're really going to like listening to my old buddy, Luke Clayton, for the next hour.
Thanks, Bill. This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past 3 decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper, Outdoors Column, that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers and is on the pro staff of Gearhead Archery, Air Force Air Guns, Sightmark, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, and feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guest for this week's show.
Well, folks, it is now Campfire Talk. Appreciate all of you being with us today, and I want to thank Mr. David Fox for that nice introduction, of course. Campfire Talk is brought to us, folks, by Sea Arc Boats, awesome line of aluminum boats, Sarton Marine, Billy Sarton and crew right up there at Lake Fork, where you can buy you a new Sea Arc boat. Choctaw Hunting Lodge, owned by the Choctaw Tribe up in southeast Oklahoma, some fine hunting up there. Bill and Chris Carey's Striper Express at Lake Texoma, the Texas Wildlife Association, which is an awesome organization, and Larry, also brought to us by
Hornady, Accurate, Deadly, Dependable, DSC, the Dallas Safari Club Conservation, Education, and Hunter Advocacy, and a new one that we're adding is the TRHP Outdoors, which is the producer of Scent Guardian and a whole bunch of other different great products. And I'll be frank with you, Luke, I just got off of a meeting with them, and with Gary Robertson, and with Burnham Brothers Game Calls, and we talked a little bit about the importance of taking predators right now, because right now across much of Texas and, of course, adjoining states as well, we're starting to have little whitetail fawns hit the ground. So if you're trying to increase the fawn population right now, particularly, is a really good time to get out and try to take some of those coyotes and bobcats.
It is, Larry. And, you know, I guess we as humans, we, you know, think of those. I have a place here by the house that I've hunted many years. I remember walking up on a little fawn, and I didn't touch it, you know, a little newborn fawn.
Right, right.
Pretty close this time of the year. And so many coyotes. But I'd go by, and I'd actually see the doe sometime off out there in the brush. But, you know, watch that little fawn. There might have been two. I only saw one. For about 3 days, I'd kind of got to where I'd skirt around the area, and then after about a couple of days, you know, didn't see it again. And so many coyotes around this area. Now, you know, is a coyote a bad animal? No, he's just part of nature. But the problem is the balance has been taken out, hasn't it, Larry?
It really has. It really has. Man has influenced it, but man also needs to help maintain that balance as well. And that's why we call it wildlife conservation, which means wise use of instead of wildlife preservation. Because when you try to preserve something, then, you know, for most people, that means just leaving everything up to nature. And unfortunately, in the world we live in, and even in the natural world, we can't do that anymore. So, you know, right now, if you're interested in trying to increase the fawn population, and in a lot of places we're trying to do that because we've been very fortunate with rains. We've had tremendous rainfall and great habitat, and I think that in itself will probably help some of these fawns survive because there's enough ground vegetation right now with all the green stuff coming up where those fawns can you know, not lay it out there in kind of an open field kind of thing. So, but again, right now is a great time to get out and do some predator hunting. And of course, I don't go anywhere without that little C3 mouth blown Burnham Brothers Game Call. You know, squirrel hunts is going on, and we've got a little hunt coming up here at Jeff's at the Buck and Bass Ranch, and with squirrel season open. But I'm going to have that varmint call with me too, and I know there's a few old coyotes running around there, and so I'm going to try to do my best to try to help that little fawn population there as well.
You bet. Yeah, there's lots of coyotes up there. Folks, we're talking about up around the upper end of Lake Fork Reservoir up northeast, up in northeast Texas. Lots of coyotes, and I'll tell you what, a lot of corn-fattened squirrels, by golly. And I'm ready. I haven't had a chance yet, but here mid-month, probably within a week or so, that Ruger 10-22, I do have it sighted in, and I've got it where it'll consistently, a better shot would shoot a tighter group, but at about 35 yards, you can keep them in a nickel all day long with that thing, and that's about the distance I'm going to be shooting squirrels. Up there, you know, that's a pretty average shot, 35, maybe 40 yards. It won't vary much, but got that thing sighted in, and I am really anxious for us to get up there with Jeff and get a few squirrels, and there's so many up there right now in the around. Every corn feeder's got 25 of them in line, gray squirrels and fox squirrels, you know. But why should the hawks enjoy all those squirrels? We need to have some squirrel and gravy or squirrel and dumplings or a squirrel stew. We need to put them to use, Larry.
I think we're going to. I put a neat Trigicon here on scope on my 10-22, and it's got the same accuracy as what you're talking about. And I can't wait, because last time we were up there hunting hogs, I am snake bit when it comes to hogs up there. Yeah. Everybody sees hogs but me, and I can go right back to where y'all were hunting or before you were hunting there, and no hogs show up. Now, squirrels is a different matter.
Yeah.
You're right. There is a tremendous number of both gray and fox squirrels there. So I'm going to do my best, you know, probably my luck, whatever feeder I'm going to try to sit on, they won't show up that day.
You'll be covered up with hogs.
Anyway.
You'll be covered up with hogs, Larry.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I'll carry that Ruger 44 mag I've got that. The one that I had with me that last time, I had just put one of those Trigicon SRO sights on there and shooting 240 Grant Hornady. And with that, I tell you what, at 50 yards, that revolver will put him, if I do my part, will put him almost in the same hole. So, you know, I can carry it as a sidearm, and I'd be loaded for squirrels, and I'd be loaded for hogs as well.
You could. Well, Jeff sent me a picture of that trail camera that sends the pictures back to his cell phone yesterday. The spot you were hunting on a little bow blind out there close to it. I'm telling you, I counted 26 hogs, some pigs, some couple of good-sized hogs. I'm assuming they were boars, but they didn't look like they had the pigs right there with them. But, man, I don't know. I've hunted up there with Jeff for, 6 years now, something like that, and I've never seen so many hogs in that area. Of course, they go back down there in the bottoms, you know, where there is nobody bed up, and that's probably their – or they might just get in the brush pile and, you know, and bed up. But they're hanging in and hitting those feeders, you know. But throughout the day – I mean, those that camera indicated noontime or around midday, late in the afternoon, early.
Oh, my goodness.
So if you hunt that one of those stands, might ought to bring that pistol just in case.
I promise you I will.
Yep. They'll run the squirrels away, you know. Well, Larry, you know, the predator hunting, I know that was our main focus. Gary Robertson, I haven't seen this, the new caller that he's got out, but I had him on the radio show well over a year ago when he was doing, you know, doing some of the research and getting it ready. But the higher hertz, I think they're called, I guess that's the high range that predators actually respond to what they actually hear. Somehow they've managed to duplicate that with this new caller that Gary's come out with. So I know you've had a chance to actually hunt with it, haven't you?
I have. I've hunted with Gary several times. We've gone in these areas where they say, "Well, you can't call coyotes anymore." Well, you can, but what the difference is though the current market of electronic collars goes up to about 20,000 hertz. Coyotes can hear up to about 45,000 hertz. Bobcats up to about 60,000 hertz. And the human ear can hear about the same. And just because you turn up the volume doesn't mean you increase the hertz that these animals can hear. And so what they've done is when a rabbit squeals, well, it'll go up to about 60,000 hertz, so way beyond the range of what we can hear. So through a lot of different research and development, they were able to not only find a recorder that will record the actual sound, then they also found a speaker that will, you know, broadcast that extremely high sound. And he's got a patent on it, and the only hold up right now of getting calls out to people, and there's a list of about 3,000 or 4,000 people already on the list wanting the calls, is they're waiting on some of the chips, little electronic chips. And unfortunately, a lot of those come out of China, and so there's a huge backlog. And I noticed some of the vehicle companies, they're saying, hey, we can't get these chips to repair vehicles as well, too. So, but as soon as that opens up, I'm sure it won't be too very long, that call will be commercially available. But it'll only be available through Burnham Brothers rather than on a dealership. It'll be only available through their website.
I think it's going to be a real game changer, Larry, from everything I've heard.
I can assure you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I look forward to that. I'd like to get out there. I'm not a rabid I don't know if rabid's the right word for this. I was going to say I'm not a rabid coyote hunter. No, I kill a coyote when I can, to be honest with you, and I play around with them. You know, I like to call, but I know Gary is that's what he's known for. You know, Burnham Brothers calls, and I know that's what he does. The Carnivore, the TV show that Gary does. I know a lot of people listening to us probably watch that religiously, but be fun to see how those coyotes react to that. I call it maybe a higher pitch or a pitch that they can hear. I bet we probably just scratched the surface on that subject, you know, what they can actually hear and how they respond to it, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got the Sportsman's Life and our TV show on Pride Outdoor Network, mm-hmm. and Roku and YouTube and a bunch of other places. We're going to take that call out, and I'll have Gary and get you together, and we'll go do some calling to show how this thing really works. Now, we won't be able to hear how high.
No, I won't. I certainly won't. Yeah.
What'd you say?
What's that, Larry? Yeah, you and I are probably not we don't have the ears of a mouse. Let's put it that way. But anyway, yeah, that'll be much fun, Larry. Look forward to that. And we are out of time for our campfire talk, but the Sportsman's Life, we do have time to touch on that. That show, Larry, has got, we got 360,000 views, which that was a few months ago. They're on Pride, just on Pride Outdoor Network. So people that want to watch the show, watch us every week. I mean, it's tips and it's just the real world, some outdoor cooking that we do, and just whatever's going on, fishing and hunting. You can go to YouTube, folks, and search A Sportsman's Life, and you can watch it. There's not a lot of people watch it on YouTube. Mostly it's on Pride Outdoor Network and Facebook each week, but there are a lot of people do see it there. But that's an easy way to find it. Or, you know, Jeff puts that on my website every week, catfishradio.org. You can go there, and there's a link right to it, to that week's show, Larry. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And I just opened a YouTube channel, too. It's Larry Wysoon Outdoors, and Jeff's been posting it there. So,
oh, good. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
If somebody wants to find it, between the three or four of us, there are a lot of different sources to go to.
It is. Well, I'm looking forward to, next week up at Lake Texoma. We're going to be on some topwater stripers with Bill and Chris Carey up there at Striper Express. So that's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of good stuff coming up. And you and I are going to be right here with everybody this time next week, right?
Yes, sir, we will.
Folks, if you hunt deer in Texas, you use some kind of a game feeder. For many years, I'm talking about 15 or maybe 18 years, I've used the Ultramatic feeders made by my buddy Carl Harmon. Check them out online, ultramaticfeeders.com.